this week's sermon from C3 Church Narara. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.
Welcome to sit down. Thank you, band. You're wonderful. You'll be happy to know that I'm born and bred coastie. So I grew up in Tascot. So we have a few Tasconians. And now I live with my husband and his family in Matcham. So still around here. I thought today, and I was praying about what to share with you as a church, and it's quite significant because on St. Patrick's Day, actually, I was in Ireland 2 weeks ago, right before the World Championships, which was held in Scotland, and I was studying about the life of St. Patrick, and one of his famous prayers was like Christ before him, Christ behind him, Christ beside him, Christ underneath him, Christ above him. But it's like Christ in every person who sees good in me. It's Christ. Christ in every person I walk past. Every, you know, it goes on and on. It's actually such a beautiful prayer. And I thought, you know, that's something that I want my life to be, that when people see me, it's actually Christ in me, the hope of glory. And today I thought I'd just share my testimony with you, because there's gold in that, rather more than what any medal could do. But I also want to give you complete permission that if I'm speaking and the Lord's starting to speak to you, don't listen to me. Just listen to what he's speaking to you, right? Because that's the hope, that you personally encounter Jesus, that my words wouldn't just stick, that he would use them and allow them to grow like seeds in your heart. And so a quick stat, yes, I'm 186 centimetres tall. That's almost 6 foot two. Reese is 6 foot five, 6 foot six. So I thought I'd get that out of the way right now. Stopped growing when I was 14. So in year eight, this was when I stopped growing. So I was this tall. And so you can imagine when I was growing up that there was, let's say, some growing pains of being different. And that actually, the differences of me being so tall, and I mean not only one head taller than the rest of my class, we're talking about two heads taller. The differences then socially was that it was actually quite difficult to make friends, because if somebody really liked you, they're willing to walk around with a giant next to them, right? And it's quite hard to find that kind of love and loyalty at a young age. And so you're often by yourself and alone and just trying to fit in. And that was my experience until I was walking into the first day of year six at a brand new school. It was actually Greenpoint Christian College. And all I'd ever known was that I had to earn people's acceptance and earn people's love and things in order for them to be seen with me. And when I first walked into that school, people loved me, not out of a way of that they had to, or the teachers, but even from the teachers to the students, they saw me and they saw someone that they could love. And it actually grew this kind of curiosity, or even how could somebody love like this? And it was the very first day they said, "We love because Jesus loves us." And I encountered the love of Jesus because I realized that in my 11 years of life, you know, even from a child, what's real and what's fake. And I went, there's something more real than the emotions I'm experiencing. Jesus is alive and I can see Christ in them, the hope of glory. And that's where my journey began, of knowing who Jesus was, just purely from people's love. So I want to put that upon you, that as a community, when people come in, they will experience the love of Jesus through how we love. But then as a teenager and going on, I was still very fixated on this dream of being a high jumper. And the reason why I did that was because it was a benefit to be tall, so tick, I've got that. I was training at Gosford, Little Athletics, and I was breaking the state record, and I'd become a state champion within a couple of years, and I thought, wow, this is something. And I had a coach that saw my potential, and he actually spoke encouragement every day over me and said, if you stay with me for 10 years, I think you'll be one of the greatest high jumpers ever. And so I was like, wow, this man has a vision for my life. He sees potential. And as a kid, I just thought, this is my thing. As well as one of the greatest high jumpers was Croatian, was our world champion at the time. And I'm half Croatian. So I was like, it's in my DNA. I'm made for this. But the difficulties of having such an identity around what I could do was that the performance and the number next to my name determined how I saw myself and my value, which is really difficult because if you had a good day, you're like, okay, well, you can always be better. And then if you had a bad day, it was like, I'm not worthy. And so Jesus and high jump were almost competing against themselves in my mind of what my value was and where I found my identity and my self-worth. And all of that was going on as a kid and as a teenager and a young adult until one day when I was in a place where if I go and done on that testimony, we'll be here for half an hour. So I'm just going to bypass it. But all I can say is I encountered the radical love of Jesus and realized it was worth losing everything for. Even my dream and even high jump, everything that I had valued in myself of what was important and what I wanted to be seen as and how I could relate to other people and find my self-worth in, I was willing to leave that all behind when I really realized that that will never, ever satisfy me. The high jump bar PB will never, ever be high enough in order for me to feel like I'm worth something, right? But then when I left that, when I was in a place where I had all that I could imagine, I actually left that and I experienced the love of God, which almost re-changed my mindset to go, there is something so much greater and of worth in following Jesus. And I'm going to leave all of that behind and just see what he wants for my life. And in that, I actually heard the voice of the Lord say, go back to sport, but do it my way. And that's how I'd landed. And I'm going to just pick up my story in 2020. It was October 2020. I had qualified for the Olympic Games. And I was no way a medal winner, favorite at all. I was sort of like somebody who just snuck in because you can have 32 people compete in the high jump for the Olympic Games, right? So they were like, oh, you know, she's around that. It was there. I'd just come back from the competition in Europe. And I was doing my 2 weeks quarantine in Adelaide in a hotel room. And as I was there and I was just speaking to the Lord and saying, okay, Lord, you know, like my life is yours. What do you want me to do? What's next year looking like? He started speaking to me and said, I want you to aim for gold at the next Olympics. And that was, okay, October to August, you can do the maths. That's not a lot of time to get 30 more world ranking points, right? It's not a lot. And I thought, okay, God, I don't have the belief for that. It's good to be honest with the Lord in that and go, Lord, I don't have the belief that I could do that. But you said it, so I'm going to partner my belief in you. And something really powerful happens, and it's actually what I'm living is in 1 Corinthians 13 when it talks about love. It says, love perseveres all, love endures all, love never ends. Love believes all things, love hopes all things. I think it's that once 1 Corinthians 13 verse 7, we can get that up. Verse 7, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. I was in love with Jesus, still am in love with Jesus. And so when he speaks a word and I don't believe it, I realize I just have to keep loving him until my heart actually comes into alignment of what he's saying over my life rather than what I can see. And if I feel like I don't have the endurance for things, I just go, well, as long as I just keep loving him, endurance comes because love endures all things, right? So I was like, okay, I'm just, and if I feel like I don't have the hopes for that, I'm scared to get my hopes up just in case I don't reach them. Well, love hopes all things. So I'm just going to keep loving you, Jesus. And then you'll actually infill me with the hope to be steadfast no matter what. So in 2020, in that hotel room, and let me tell you, 14 days with your own company, not allowed to leave the front door. You have food delivered. I don't know if any of you did the 14 days hotel quarantine, but it was an experience. But in that time, I quite like my own company because it's just me and the Lord. He infilled me with the strength of going, well, what is gold going to look like and what's gold going to cost me? Because I was in a shape that had never even come close to what a gold medal winning height would look like. And that's when the Lord just told me, hey, open up to 1 Peter 3. And I was like, okay. And he does that. And in 1 Peter 3, it talks about the difference between like suffering and glory. And 1 Peter 3, verse 8, it says, finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless, for this you were called, that you would obtain a blessing. And the Lord's like, you want to know how to obtain this blessing? Well, it's all right here. You need to have unity in your mind, not be departed of, I'm following God here, but I'm thinking of my own strength or my own ability. No, I just have to be united that God is in control. So like from my mind to the rest of my body, I went, okay, my mind has to be united. I have to have sympathy as well, not only for myself, but for other people. Have that and be an ambassador for Christ. Brotherly love, a tender heart, you know, just always being willing to be molded and shaped and not be letting pride get in if I am doing well, or not be hopeless because I need to be tender and available to him, and have a humble mind, which as an athlete, I think it was one of the hardest things, because success and the platform and people almost like putting you up there, and they're like, we look up to you, you are our role model. And it's like maintaining that humility is something that I really believe that unless you have the Holy Spirit, it just, pride comes in and it cuts you off, and you have so much potential, but that pride almost puts a plug in it and goes, you're okay, you can rest now, rather than going on to the greater things. And so God's like, I wrote it on a piece of paper and I used it as my bookmark for when I would read the Bible, and every day I would look at it and go, okay, like, and almost check myself. Okay, how am I going in these areas? All right, well, we're going on to obtain the blessing. And so I was forgetting my 16 years of training at that point and going, God, I know that the way I'm jumping and the way I'm doing things right now isn't enough for gold. And I was honest and I said, okay, but how are you going to do something? Because my coach is an amazing coach. I've had him. He lives on the Central Coast. I've had him since I was day dot kind of thing. He's programmed things out, but I don't know if it's enough for gold. And rather than try and add things and take things into my own hands, what I'll do is I'll just put my 100% in absolutely everything that he's done. So I'm not going to change and add things, but what I'm doing with the heart of it, I'm going all in for it. You know, and I don't mind what it looks like if it's weird. I just want to put my 100% into it. And I found that if I didn't add for it and try and put it into my own strength, but just had a different heart, everything changed. Everything was more than enough. And so as I was going forward with it to obtain the blessing, that I came back to Australia, and you know, I was training even in my hotel room at that point in the quarantine. We got weights delivered in, and I feel sorry for the people beneath me because I was like doing Olympic lifts and throwing it onto the ground and running and jumping. And if somebody was getting over jet lag and having a midday sleep, no chance, no chance with me. But the other thing is, within this verse, if you have your Bibles, and it's 1 Peter 3, and it talks about suffering for righteousness' sake, God's like, you know, there's going to be this time where it is like suffering. Because when you're changing and you're going forward from a place where you've been comfortable, it's okay to recognize that that's going to, that for me, that was suffering. But he says that there will be joy in the suffering. And I highlighted this whole chapter, so it's a little bit hard. I'm like, where am I reading? But, 1 Peter 4 verse 12, it says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery trial when it comes upon you to test you, as though something strange is happening to you. But rejoice in as so far as you share with Christ's sufferings, that you would be also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. For if you are insulted for the name of Christ, you were blessed, because the spirit of glory and of God rests upon you." And I realized that, I'm like, where does suffering start and stop and glory begins? But it was actually in the surrender of me going, I'm willing to go forward and step into this uncomfortable place, not because I need to. For me, making the Olympic Games was my absolute goal when I was a little girl, and I've just made it. But me stepping forward into a place where I could potentially get injured, potentially burnt out, potentially things, that was almost stepping away from my own dreams of just trying to protect this and bubble wrap myself to be in that place to experience it. And God going, I'm going to give you more, but you're going to step into that place so that you can obtain the blessing that I have for you. Because I see the potential that's inside of you, right? So God was just like speaking to me. And so I realized that in that suffering came surrender, but the glory was going to be there in that moment. And so as I was training for those months leading up into the Olympic Games, every day I would just recognize and realize that suffering for the Lord is actually a place where his glory is revealed. And it's not going to look like, if I know it's going to be hard work, I'm not going to be surprised when I find it's hard, right? Like, because I'm a hard worker, because the Lord has done that. But Jesus was able to endure the cross for the joy that was set before him. And so every day that I was willing to just be in this place and just step outside of that comfort zone and push myself further and go harder towards the goal without looking behind, but just looking upon Jesus, fixating my gaze upon him, he gave me strength. But more than that, he gave me his joy. I was just laughing, like when I was like doing a plank and holding it, and it was getting really, really hard to the point where you could just feel your muscles just breaking a bit. And then that's when you just start experiencing the Holy Spirit comfort you and fill you with joy. And I was like, yeah, like, and it was that point where I could just push a bit more in every single thing that I did out of the love of Jesus. So the moment that it started costing me was the moment I actually experienced his glory in a greater measure and went, he will be glorified in this. And even when we worship in church and like there's these moments, you know, when you're just worshiping him and you just experience his joy and you could do anything, you're like, I could tell everyone about Jesus at this moment. And then sometimes we step out of it and go, oh, remember that thought I had in worship? Where's that right now when I'm speaking to this Coles checkout chick? You know, like there's like, I realized that I had to be in worship in order to experience that kind of joy. And sometimes I thought before in this whole journey that if I was in church and I was singing, that was worship to him. But I recognize more and more that everything is worship to him because it's the heart of worship. It's not the act of it, right? So I was like, it doesn't have to be singing. So I was recognizing that maybe I'm not the best musically inclined in worshiping, but I have feet that could worship him with every step that I do. And every time I jump, like, my whole body has been made to worship him. And so as I was going to training, I was like, worship session begins. And so it would give me so much joy because it cost me and it was glorious. So I had a few months of that, and my training was supernaturally just going from strength to strength to strength. And I didn't have fear or that I would have sickness or injury, because I recognized that with the power of the Lord, you actually have discernment of when enough is enough, but also when you have more to give. Because he had so much... We had such close communication because I recognized that my training was giving me a platform to share his glory. It made the suffering look like nothing, because I just knew that he was going to mold me and shape me into what he's called me to. So we get to 2021, and in 2021, after consistently having my eyes fixed on him and within the training, we got to the Olympic trials, and I woke up that day and I just knew that I was ready for whatever he had for me. And he'd confirmed to me in a few dreams and just in a few things that I was going to jump 2 meters, which was a dream I'd had since I was day dot kind of thing with my high jumping. And I remember being in that hotel room, and Reese had sent me a message sharing about the love of Jesus, and that he loves you because he loves you because he loves you. Like, you don't have to perform in order to get his love is there. And for some reason, you know, when somebody sends a message and it ignites something inside of you, that day it was just igniting the sense that there is an endurance that would take place. That no matter what I would do, no matter what jump I did, I had a platform now that I was ready to share. And I had significance on it. So on the 18th of April, 2021, I still remember it as if it was yesterday, I walked into the stadium, and as I was walking in, I looked at every single person. I'm like, every single person today is going to experience and see something that they were not expecting. But the Lord had already ordained it from heaven. And so I walked into it, and I have a professional photographer. He actually follows me around now for training and things. And he said, when it got to 2 meters, I missed my first attempt. But yet he's like, as soon as it was your second attempt, because you get 3 attempts in high jump, it was your second attempt, it was like everyone in the crowd went silent. And you just saw like 30 photographers start running to the high jump from there, because there was a sense. He's like, I'm not spiritual, but there was my soul knew something was about to happen. And so people start running into the thing. Then I invite people to do a clap, and maybe I should have gotten a video, but you can YouTube it if you want. And it was in that moment I knew I was going to do it. So I actually start laughing and I start praising the Lord just as I'm just singing and I'm thanking him. And as I started jumping, it was just like, he was carrying me. And it wasn't until I was on the bags and I hadn't seen that I'd cleared it, I just heard the roar of the stadium of people just going, you've done it. And then it was funny because that was Reese's first ever competition, so we thought that was just a normal thing. He's like, oh, yeah, that's pretty good. And then we had all of the media, like every kind of media, because it was the Olympic trials. And for the next 2-3 hours, every media outlet that we had in Australia, every newspaper outlet, they were like, tell us about what happened. That's amazing. And I could share about Jesus. But more than that, in the preparation, I had written my 2 meter jump speech. I had written what I would share on the news. Like, I had prayed about it because I'd partnered with the Lord beforehand, that within the journal that I was writing all these things in, I was actually reading throughout the high jumps what I would be saying on TV, like in a few minutes after I'd do that jump. And so I was recounting and just going, okay, I'm going to spend some time with the Lord of what that's going to look like once I get there. So I'm not going to come unprepared, because it tells us in Scripture to always be prepared, to make the most of every situation, to give glory and give the hope of what you've believed for. So I did that, and it was amazing, because when people saw the way I was jumping, it wasn't just in a performance, it was done out of love, and it actually moved the hearts of them, because it was worship in action. Something that a lot of people separate is what I do on a Sunday is worship God, and then I'm a school teacher. You know, what I do on Sunday is worship God, but then I'm an athlete. I'm a, you know, just insert yourself there. And so when people saw that it could combine, and you can be following Jesus in what you're doing, it started breaking a few barriers and boundaries, especially for the athletes around me. And I went into then, after that, I was looking like one of the favorites, but they were like, okay, she jumped 2 meters once. You know, you're versing people that have jumped 2 meters 100 times. You know, like it's just because she's had one good competition doesn't mean anything. But they didn't know my heart was, because you can keep a humble mind and those, like, unity of mind, a humble mind, a tender heart, love, sympathy, like all of those things. It was still my bookmark, right? You do a great jump, you see God move, and you go, all right, but today's a new day. You can just press on to what's ahead and forget what's behind. God's got more for me. So just continue working hard, which a lot of people can't do, because once you have a great success and you've reached what you wanted, you can settle. But God's actually got more for you. Because he doesn't just lead you to the dream, he leads you through the dream. He doesn't just give you a roadmap to a mountain. He expands on that. So once you're there, he'll give you divine wisdom of how to steward that. So then for those next months leading into the Olympic Games, I started writing, okay, Lord, what are we going to say once we've got the gold medal platform? And so we started writing it out and dreaming. And, you know, I was reading some of my journals just to get some, you know, because it was 3 years ago. So I'm just trying to remember everything that I did. But even the way that I was writing and journaling, I was writing as if anybody could read it, because this was going to, like, almost like my life was a movie. And I'm going to say, athletics isn't that important in Australia. And in the grand scheme of things, it's just jumping over a stick. It's not that. But when you have significance of what the Lord is doing and that there's glory attached to it, everything becomes an opportunity to glorify him, and everything becomes significant. So even the smallest things, when it's done with great love and great faith, then people can notice, actually, this is something of heaven right here. So I continued and pressing forward to it. And we got to the Tokyo Olympics, and because of COVID times, there was not a lot of crowds, and it was very, very strict, to the point where we could only be in our rooms, go to training, go back to our rooms. And a lot of people around me were feeling like they'd been, let's say, disappointed or shortchanged, because an Olympics was meant to be this really big celebration. But for me, it was the best preparation, because I could just spend time in prayer. And I had to, in order to press through, a lot of people, they train really, really hard. And then once they get to the Olympics, they go, now I can relax. But the Lord was giving me just this wisdom, like a father, and saying, as soon as you jump, like, this is going to be hard work. Everything is going to be hard work for you. But you're a hard worker. And just encourage me. And I got to the night before the Olympic final, and I thought, okay, what am I going to do now? Am I going to go downstairs and minister to people and evangelize? I feel like I'm an evangelist in an athlete's body. So whenever, especially with the Olympic Games, and you've got all the nations at your doorstep, you're just like, this is, fish are jumping into the boat here. Like, it's fantastic. But you know, just even when you have a buffet of things, but you're like, Lord, what am I going after? You know, what's the cake? You know, what am I going after? He said, just take away, you know, just be by yourself. I just want to have this time with you before the whole world is in with the spot. When you're in the spotlight and the whole world knows what us two know right now, I just want to have a father-daughter time. And let's just forget. Let's just go away by ourselves and have this time before everyone else knows what I've placed inside of you. And I thought it was one of the most precious times, because I then was there and I had my Olympic uniform there. I had my high jump spikes, which sort of helped carry me over the bar. And then I just had a notebook and I could just spend time praying. I'm like, Lord, when people see me wear this tomorrow, may they see you inside of me. Lord, when people see these shoes or whatever, Lord, may they see you and see the power of your presence, not me. And then I had this notebook and I wrote down, and the Lord's like, you know, what are you scared of? You know, what's in your heart? Is there anything that you need to let go today so that tomorrow you can walk out there in freedom? And I was like, Lord, what if it rains? You know, just something so small, because I knew that as soon as it rains, the track surface changes and it's really, really hard to jump your best when the conditions are all out of there. And he's like, don't you know who controls the wind and waves and the rain and the sun? I was like, yeah. He's like, am I trustworthy, Nicola? I was like, yes. Yes, you are. And like, to get to here, and I was reflecting of me being in a hotel room that the year prior, and I couldn't fathom to believe it, and yet I was walking in and I was one of the favorites for the Olympic podium. And then I'm like, oh, but Lord, like, you know, what if I go out there and I come dead last? You know, like I was just anything that was coming to my head. And he's like, am I worthy of it even if you came last? And I went, oh, actually, this whole journey of me trusting you and putting in and going places where I never would have gone myself, that's the glory, right? That's the gold, was the time that we had together, Jesus, and what we have right here. Nobody ever can take that away. No medal could add or take away from that. And then I just recognized, and I put everything that I could on that notebook and realized that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. It's actually nothing to do with me or my strength. It's his strength in me. And he enables me to believe and hope for all things. And I could just leave that there. And so I woke up in the morning and the Lord's like, don't open your blinds. Just stay in your room until like 11 o'clock. I was like, oh, well, that's a bit boring, but okay, you know. So reading my word and writing out an acceptance speech for going for gold and what it would mean, and started praying. And I'm like, the greatest sermon I'm ever going to preach is actually on that stadium. So like, but I have to believe it myself. So let's start like, you know, writing it down and strengthening myself in the Lord. And I wasn't realizing, but there was a massive thunderstorm going on between 8 a.m. and 11 a.m. And the whole place was just, there was pouring rain, even like little puddles of floods and stuff around the village. But because like the Lord knew my faith level in that moment. And he knew that if I saw that, I'm like, oh, it's over, it's finished, you know. I don't know how I'm going to compete in the rain. But actually, by the time I left my room, the sun had come down and licked up all of the water to the point where it didn't even look like it rained. But I could just tell because you could smell it. But I was like, oh, wonderful. And so it was like just the kindness of the Lord to recognize where my faith was at and went, okay, you just stay home, like into this. And I was, as I was getting ready then for the competition that night and praying, I was just encountering the Lord, and I had so much joy, because when you come to a place of testing and you know that no stone was left unturned, you walk there, you're like, refine me, like I'm ready. And I was reflecting on when Jesus was going out to the cross in Gethsemane. You know, the word Gethsemane means oil press. And I thought, wow, like the Lord was just showing me, it's like an olive, that you might have been a really good fruit, but because you were willing to be put into my hands, I pressed you into the most precious oil. And in that time, I was thinking, you know, in Gethsemane, when the Lord was praying and weeping over the people, he was preparing himself to do what no man could ever do alone, right? What we needed in order for salvation. And as I was thinking of that time in prayer, the Lord just reminded me back and of me in the hotel room and just praying and just going, okay, God, like I'm giving you all that I have, but now I'm completely yours. And God's like, you know, there's still flowers blooming in the garden that I was praying over the people. Like there was still so much beauty in that time. And even though it cost me everything, I still had that joy, because the joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy set before me, I could endure the cross. And I went, okay, his joy is there. So I walked into the Olympic Stadium that night, and there was so many people around me, and the tension was as thick as a knife. And I didn't recognize it, but all of my competitors, the Olympics is something that we'll have a world championships every year, but every 4 years there is a medal and there is an opportunity and a platform where the whole world gathers to see it. And as an athlete, that is the biggest platform that you could ever be on. But yet as I was walking in, there was so much joy that I just felt like I was in my lounge room. You know, I could just enjoy and have a look and recognize that it's his strength. So why would I worry? I'm actually I'm carried by him. And when people, there was a lot of people saying, you know, Nicola, you're carrying the cross into that place of influence in the Olympics. And I said, actually, no, the cross is carrying me. Like he's carrying me. And so as I was jumping, it was quite funny because I didn't recognize, like, yes, there was a whole bunch of extra cameras, but it was just another competition. And as I was out there competing, I got to like a medal winning height, and it was at 2 meters. And as I was in number one position, and I'm just singing, God, you're so good. Like it's a, one of my favorite songs to sing when I'm out there. And I was just singing. I didn't realize that, you know, there's cameras and billions of people watching. I was just like, you're so good. And it's like, I'm blessed, I am called, I am healed, I am whole. And I'm getting really into it. And they're like, Nicola, your first attempt's up. And I'm like, oh, they're interrupting my worship. You know, I'm just here, I'm just having that moment. And then the Lord said, it's not interrupting, you're just going to continue it with the way that you jump. There's not like a, okay, now I've actually been interrupted. It's a continuation. And then as soon as I continued that, and then I felt like it was easy, because I looked to that. I went, I could do this in Australia when, you know, all the photographers are running over to me. I was like, they're already here. They're waiting for something. And as I was jumping, it was effortless. And then I got to 202 and I was in like the, it was the fight for gold. And I felt like, again, it's something I'd never done before. But then as I got over that height and I did a personal best, I was just so excited. But that pressing on towards the greater things. And then my competitors, my friend Maria, she then jumped 204. And that was a really big height. And I went, okay, we're going on for it. But that sense of don't stop until it's finished, like keep going, was so important for me. And as I missed that and I got a silver medal, all of a sudden, like I'm not a very emotional person, but I cried. Like, I mean, I had wrinkles coming out of, like, I'm 24, but I had wrinkles everywhere on my face. And I was like, I was crying because I was like, God, you did something that I never, ever thought I could ever do by myself. And I realized that if I never aimed for gold, I never would have gotten silver. If I never aimed for things that were so far beyond me. And I was just crying, and then I was looking at her, and it was just this wonderful moment. And I recognized in that moment that I'd sent this gold medal speech, and I thought, oh, can I really share about Jesus, because I've only gotten silver? But that was just the enemy. I was like, no, I'm going to share it. I'm going to share it all the more, because this is an opportunity. And people told me that if I shared Jesus on TV, because they knew I was very excited and very bold in faith, they were like, you know, the TVs will be turned off immediately, so don't even try and share about Jesus. But I recognized as I was going up to the interviewers that if even if they turn the TVs off, the person who's interviewing me needs to hear the truth. And Jesus is always about the one. So if you share Jesus with the one, rather not knowing the consequences of it or whatever, but just seeing with the genuineness of faith and sharing it to him, I'm like, it would all be worthwhile. But I didn't realize at that time that it wasn't turned off. And it continued and it shared. And that was maybe one of the interviews that was shown in church. And it went all over Australia. I didn't even know most of Australia was watching because it's high jump, right? But it was COVID lockdown at that time, of course. So nobody else had anything to do on a Saturday night but watch me compete. And the basketball was going on at the same time. And we were in the bronze medal match. And as we were, as they were playing, they were interrupting the basketball feed with Nicola's going for the gold kind of thing. And so people were watching. And after that time, I thought, I'm so thankful that I didn't wait to prepare for something as big as that. And I walked off the bags and I was like, Lord, you said gold. He's like, he said, I didn't tell you which Olympics. And I was like, oh. But, you know, I recognized as well that I was like, you know, God is so faithful that he would place faith inside of my heart to believe the things that I could never even done on my own. But I just had to get out of the way and go, Lord, I'm actually willing to be changed and molded and shaped, even to the point where it costs me my comfort and it costs me my energy. Like, Lord, you're actually worthy of it. You're worthy of them all. And straight after that Olympics, I had no idea, but there was so much significance on everything that I did that I was getting emails from all over the world from people saying, you know, my family gave their lives to Jesus after watching you jump. And I decided to get baptized after seeing you jump. And this, like, it was just one after the other after the other. And it was all compiled because there was a yes there. And it's not like my gift by myself without Jesus, I would have stopped jumping a long time ago and you never would have heard of me and I would have just been that tall girl that doesn't do basketball but she does something else, right? But God saw my heart and he saw my potential and went, if you give me what I, like, if you really give me everything, I'll turn it into precious oil. If you're willing to be pressed and to be pulled into places, but you keep your eyes on me, I will give you joy in the journey. And I have just seen that, like, straight after the Olympic Games, I continue training with all the more excitement. And it's been 3 years since then. And I honestly, the Lord has been faithful upon faithful upon faithful. And I've just come back from my first world title in Glasgow in a competition I wasn't even going to do like a month ago, but the Lord's like, yeah, I want you to go there. And if I stayed in my comfort zone and just stayed, you know, where it's comfortable or rely on the faith of a past season to get me there, I never would have become a world champion. I actually had to press on to the more that God had for me. And I saw that. And one of the things that I do at each competition is I just want to gather believers to pray and encourage. It's like what happens when you gather people to pray is that you get the most impact. Like, yes, people will get prophesied over, they'll get encouraged. But more than that, you'll actually start seeing that in the unity commands a blessing, right? So that you'll get blessed, but also something gets stirred up inside of you. So as I was gathering these women all over the world, in Glasgow where I competed, I was sharing about Acts chapter 4, about how we can be bold for Jesus. And the boldness, the believers prayed for boldness, and it says that the Spirit came and it shook the room that they were in and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And we were praying for that, I was like, there's something physical that happens when spiritually we all gather and agree that Jesus is Lord. And so we were in this place, and when I was competing then, I recognized that I had such a boldness to actually realize, Lord, I'm in an uncomfortable position, but you are faithful, and there is something so powerful that will happen in the physical because spiritually I'm already there. And so as I was jumping, I actually felt like there was such an inheritance and such a power that if I have Jesus at the center of my life and he is the love of my life, I will have all endurance to be able to keep going and all hope and all belief, and I can bear anything because he's inside of me and his love is there. And I don't have to rely on my own love, you know, for him to strengthen, because I just have to receive his love, which is everlasting. And if his love is everlasting, it means that my storehouse will always be full, which means that my strength to continue training and continue jumping and going forward is not going to decrease. It'll only increase from glory to glory. So as I was jumping and I've come back now, I've recognized when people have like, you've done it this year, you've become like the world champion. I'm like, we're not done yet. The Olympics is in a few months. So what are we, but I don't have to be afraid that I'll run out of steam, because as long as I'm focusing on him as the center point, and that it is from his love and it's for love, that it was always worship, it's actually not going to get to a place where it becomes stale or, oh, it's just another competition. It always is fresh. And it's always so powerful. And that's sort of where I've learned, is to love him is to conquer the world. To love him is to encounter the most pure and powerful strength that could ever happen. And I'm amazed that throughout my platform, from the past Olympics, let's say to this Olympics now with 3 years, because, you know, the COVID made it 2021 rather than 2020. So usually we have a 4-year break. But within this time period, I have seen his faithfulness, and I can testify that what he has done in a past season is always going to continue bringing fruit, because time spent with him is never time wasted. It's something that Louis Giglio always says. And I've realized that the fruit of the past season will never go stale or grow old, because it's made with eternity. So like eternal fruit, that's there. But I'm pressing on towards the greater things and not living in the shadow of what he's done, because I believe that we go from glory to glory and that there is always something more significant that's taking place. And I mean, I've spoken a lot about high jump and Olympic, like, talking, but my prayer and my heart is that you would be inspired to just see that the Lord's love is strong enough and powerful enough to break through any barrier and any line of work that you do. That when you partner worship with him, when you partner worshiping him in what you do, there is so much power, because he's worthy of everything. He's worthy of every career path. He is worthy of every community group, because you can reach people that I can't reach, and I can reach people that no one else can reach. But we've all, as a body of Christ, united with our hearts and our minds, going forward of seeing Christ in our community, Christ in our nation, Christ in our world, and doing things out of a place of love, it actually brings the testimony itself, because people recognize there's something eternally significant on what you're doing. I know that, like, when I'm jumping, it's just not me moving my limbs and getting over the thing. They're actually seeing Christ inside of me, and that's the power. And I also want to encourage you to partner your dreams with him. To not just rely on, okay, well, you know, this is what I want to do with my life, and then this is what God wants me to do with my life, so I'm just going to find a nice middle ground in between. Give it all to him. Give it all to him, because he's worthy of it. Give your dreams to him. Give your heart to him. Give your family to him. Give your talents to him. You might think, well, if I give everything to Jesus, maybe he's going to give me a lifestyle that's not going to be satisfying to me, so I need to hold back. But no, he created you. He knows what fills your heart with joy, and he also knows what you need in every season. When you give him everything,
That's when you experience the glory that you were created to experience, because it's the glory that can only be given to Him, because He'll give you a life that you can't say, I did it by myself. You can't even claim that you did half of it. You know it's Him. He'll actually use the weak things inside of you, the things that you want to cover and hide. He gives you that kind of power and goes, I want that. I want your weaknesses, because that's where the strength of Christ and the glory of Christ is revealed. He wants every single part of you, so that when you come towards Him and you're placed on the stand, He'll say, you withheld nothing. Well done, good and faithful servant. Not well done, good and successful servant, or well done, good and wealthy servant. No, the faithfulness. Being faithful with the little is also faithful with the much. Giving Him everything requires a bit of surrender, but I can personally say every single day I have the opportunity to give Him something extra, and it is always a joy. I'm not relying on 2020 me of giving Him everything, or 2017 of going, I gave Him everything. Today is a new opportunity for me to say, here I am, Lord, I'm giving you this as well. Because I know that if everything I place in His hands is like the fish and the loaves, when I place it into His hands, He multiplies it. And He gives so much more than what I could do by myself. So I just want to pray for you, and then I'll invite Chris just to come up and take part. Otherwise, I'll be here all day. But Lord Jesus, I just thank you that, you know, when we praise you and we just speak about you, that there's a life that comes on inside of us, because it is what we were internally created for, to worship you and to seek you with our whole heart. Lord, I thank you that the true worshipers worship in spirit and in truth. And I just thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here, that you are recognized. And Lord, I thank you for your truth that sets us free. And I just declare that there will be dreams coming through for everybody that is here. I pray, Lord, that there is a power and a strength to give what we've been holding on to you, Lord. I just pray that there is a power in surrender, and that each person here would have the power to surrender the things that they are proud of and the things that they want to hide. The things that they are so excited for in their lives, Lord, I just pray that you place, that they have the power to place them into your hands. That you would give your peace, give your joy, and give your glory to them, that they could steward it back to you. Lord, that we were never meant to hold on to the things that we are proud of, but we were actually meant just to steward them to give you glory. And I pray, Lord, for increased platforms for us, increased horizons, that we would no longer barrier what you can do in our lives, but that we would give you all the things that we have. And I pray for every single person here, even the people that might not recognize the gifts that they've been placed upon their lives because of the lies and the labels that they have. I pray, Lord, for labels to be ripped off today in the name of Jesus. I pray, Lord, that the lies that have been spoken over them, the truth would come and set them free, and that they would live in the calling that they have been designed to live in. That they would not limit themselves to the statuses or the identity that they set for themselves, but they would press forward to see what you have in store for them. Jesus, give them a new heart and a new eyes to see when they look at the mirror, that they don't just see themselves, but they see somebody who carries the glory and the power and the authority of you, Jesus. Because as we are, so as you were, so we are in this world, Lord. We are your ambassadors, and I just pray that each one of us has a new heart and a new mind to see what you are going to do in and through our hearts. And I pray for that in the name of Jesus. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's sermon. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.
Jesus, Jesus, there is power in the name, Jesus.